Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for our weekly Bible study right here on our website. The title of this teaching ministry, and I preach part of it. It's hard for me not to preach when I teach things that are so powerful and so very, very important today. But I'm going to try to slow down and gear down just a little bit because this is such a vast subject. There is a temptation to just try to get so much in to this time that we have. But this is way too important, particularly now, to try to rush into it and try to compact it, for time's sake. So we will have more than one, teaching on this subject. And I don't think we'll ever exhaust it. It doesn't mean we're going to teach it indefinitely. It just means we're going to try to get enough teaching from the Word of God on this great subject today that we can begin to get a handle on this truth and apply it now more than ever. The title of our teaching is The Indispensable Holy Ghost. The Indispensable Holy Ghost. Now, sometimes I'm asked a question. It's not foolish. It's very, it's a good question. What's the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost? There's no difference. They are one and the same. It may be rendered Holy Spirit. It may be rendered Holy Ghost. It's still the third person of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let me begin this teaching. This is a vast teaching. When we see His work, that is exclusive to the Holy Ghost, that we cannot do through any religious system. Only God does these particular works by His agent, the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you have religion at its best, you have what man can do. But when we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, we have what God can do. And I don't know about you, but I'm keenly interested in what God can do, what God will do, what God is doing in this day when the devil seems to have pulled out all of the stops and he's manifesting himself unabashedly, unashamedly through people. Today we're seeing the manifestation of the demonic, literally the demonic. There is a situation in the book of Revelation where a pit is opened and literal demons are let out of that pit to torment men. This is not figuratively, this is literal. But we are, and this is not figurative demonic powers at work. This is literal demonic powers at work. The Bible clearly says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. These are not the literal demons from the pit, but this is the demonic influence that the devil has through himself and his agents. Friend of mine, this is a day that we are in desperate need of the supernatural to combat the supernatural. We're told that the God of this world has blinded the minds of men. And as long as the target of our preaching and teaching and our efforts to see people come into the kingdom of God, as long as the target is the blinded mind, they can't see what we are saying. I want to say that again. They can't see what we are saying because of the devil's influence in our world today. So the Bible says the God of this world has blinded the minds of men lest they would see the glory of the gospel and be saved. So if they can't see what we're saying, then there has to be some kind of spiritual release of the Holy Spirit to take those scales from their eyes, to push back the influence of the enemy, the rulers of the darkness of this world, creating this spiritual blindness in them. Listen to this scripture. I'm just going to tell you this. We will go deeper and teach on this, but while it's fresh in my mind, while there's a fresh anointing right here for it, amen. The weapons of our warfare, the scriptures teach, are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now listen, don't stop there. Keep going for context in this particular portion of Scripture, because we're not talking about my mind, your mind. We're not talking about a stronghold over our city. Surely there are spiritual strongholds over cities, but this is not addressing that per se. This is talking about the lost person that we're trying to reach with the gospel. Because it's all about that blinded mind that Satan has succeeded in bringing that spiritual darkness to that soul. They can't see what we're saying. They can hear what we're saying, but they can't see it. So listen, the God of this world has blinded the minds of men lest they would see the glory of the gospel and repent and receive Christ. So listen, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God. This is the indispensable work of the Holy Ghost. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen, casting down imaginations. This is in the mind where this is occurring, the blinded mind. Casting down imaginations, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. When we, as ministers of the gospel, as Christians sharing the faith, when we believe that we're so articulate and we're so good at it that we don't need the Holy Ghost to do this great work. You see, as long as we're using carnal weapons against a spiritual enemy, we will ultimately fail over and over and over again. Listen, I want to make a statement to you. I've been in ministry going on 50 years now. This coming January will mark almost, I think in March is the actual date, this will mark 50 years that I have been in the pastoral ministry, been president, director of this particular ministry. And I have observed a paradigm shift in how we approach ministry and the pushback against the supernatural power of God, the manifestation of the presence of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we have been given. Listen, this is all for the great purpose of reaching people that are lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to lean more heavily on the Holy Ghost and less on our ingenuity and our intelligence and our abilities. One of the dangers of the modern day approach to ministry, as I see it, is that we will get so good at preaching, so good at putting programs in place, so good at attracting people to church through them, and yet, at the same time, so empty of the person and power of the Holy Ghost. We may have someone walk the aisle because our target was that blinded mind without that stronghold of darkness coming down by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit will open the eyes of the spiritual blind. This is one of the important parts of Jesus' ministry. He said, I'm anointed to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised, and the restoring of sight to the blind. When we see that, we think of physical healing. But this particular healing in context of salvation for the soul is this blinded mind having sight restored to it so that they can see what we say when we preach the gospel. Listen, how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard the Scriptures declare. And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he go except he be sent? That's our part of preaching, declaring, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there is a spiritual part of that that only the Holy Ghost can do. And He is ready, willing, and able to do this great work today. Without true conviction by the Holy Spirit, by the way, and I'm just prefacing these things that we're going to study today. Listen, when He comes, the Scripture said, He will convince the world of sin. That word in the Greek is convict the world of sin. And without conviction by the Holy Spirit, that's why He is indispensable. Without the conviction of the Holy Ghost, there can be no true conversion, because the person He's convicting will not repent of their sin and run to Christ. They won't see themselves as truly lost and see the wonderful privilege and power of having our sin forgiven and having that burden of fear, of standing before a holy God and answering to Him for that sin. Dear friend of mine, Holy Ghost conviction will shake us to the core of our being and cause us to run to the cross and run to the Christ that God has sent to save us. Without this true conviction of the Spirit, there can be no true conversion, because there will be no real repentance. And because of that, the person will walk down an aisle, maybe in a church somewhere, and recite a creed and embrace a dogma that is correct, be baptized in water in order to join the church, but never be joined to Christ by the Holy Spirit. This is all supernaturally accomplished by the Holy Ghost in the person that receives Jesus as Savior. Jesus said it clearly, didn't He? No man comes to Me except My Father draw him. Not the preacher alone is important as preaching the Word and preaching the Gospel and sharing the Gospel. Not the program alone in and of itself. Only the Spirit of God. Only the Spirit of God. That's why the Holy Ghost is so indispensable to the true ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ today. The Holy Spirit's work in the believer, number one, He regenerates or makes spiritually alive. Listen to Titus 3 and verse 5. And see the supernatural part of this that only God can accomplish. Religion, the right religion, the Christian faith, if you please, without this critical work of the Holy Ghost is not enough for what God wants to do and will do in the life of anyone who will see the glory of the gospel and run to the cross, run to Jesus Christ. Listen, Titus 3 and verse 5 says, according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I want to read that again. According to His mercy He saved us. By grace you are saved. Listen, through faith, it's the gift of God. I'm quoting the other scripture now. It's not of works lest any man should boast. It's all about the mercy of God and producing and allowing for the grace of God. Hallelujah. But listen, when we do receive Jesus by faith, because we've been drawn to Him by the Holy Spirit, convicted of our sin, repenting of that sin, this mighty work of transformation occurs by the Holy Spirit, not by giving mental assent to all of the tenets of the faith. Listen, according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I like one scholar of Scripture in a commentary where he says, the actual process of regeneration is exclusively the work of the Spirit and is divine and not a human work. I want to read that again. The actual process of regeneration, and this occurs when someone is truly saved. The actual process of regeneration is exclusively the work of the Spirit and is divine and not a human work. The Holy Spirit ministers the beginning of all spiritual life. Before I read on any further, Jesus said, he that hath the Son hath life. And it's this life imparted by the Holy Spirit to us, Christ's life, if you please, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He shall also quicken. That means to give life to your mortal body. Amen. You're not going to live forever in your physical body as it is right now by becoming a Christian. Amen. But you are going to live forever in this body because of the resurrection. And you're going to live forever because of the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead indwelling you. This is supernatural. I believe what we're missing today is we're so good at preaching, so good at getting programs to bring people into a building, and we're not so good, I'm afraid, at bringing people into that becomes the building. When Christians that are truly saved today, the Bible said we are a building, fitly framed together for a habitation of God by the Spirit of God. Amen. We need this essential, critical, crucial work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life, to give it to you more abundantly. This is the regeneration. This is this wonderful work of God, exclusively done by the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. The Holy Spirit indeed ministers the beginning of all spiritual life. And the process is a complete recreation and no mere fanning into flame of the divine spark. It is not a matter of developing a higher nature, but creating a new nature. The Greek word for regeneration is palingenesia. Palingenesia. It's a compound of palin, which means again, and genesis, which means birth. So it literally means new birth. The Greek word rendered renewing comes from the verb meaning to make new. Amen. And this helps me to understand this particular scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The true salvation is a new birth. We are, not figuratively, but literally and spiritually, born again, born from above. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because he was ashamed and afraid to be associated with him because of the controversy. And yet he knew, you have the words, you have the instructions we need to have eternal life. What must I do? He said, Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you have to be born again. And that took him back. Of course it did. Because he said, how can I go back to my mother's womb? That's a pretty logical question. This is not a foolish, unlearned question for the sake of strife. This is a genuine question. And Jesus said, only by the Spirit of God, in essence. This is a work of the Spirit of God. You see, this is the exclusive work of the Holy Spirit. This is why we cannot have this work accomplished by any operation of our flesh and even the right religion, the Christian faith, in and of itself. Without this crucial work of the Spirit of God, we can't see people born again and having a new heart put in, a heart transplant, if you please. The new covenant declares, when it comes, and Jesus brought it, when that new covenant comes, the Bible said, as it is written, I will take out the heart of stone, and I will replace it with a heart of clay. This is a brand new nature that is imparted. It happens immediately when we get saved, when we come to Christ as our Savior. But it's something that is progressively worked out into our life. That's why it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, with awe and with reverence for God, and reverencing His presence and His work within us. Glory, it doesn't say work for it. It said, take what you have been given as a free gift and work it out into your life. Flesh it out. Live it out. Because you are a new creation, buried with Him, raised with Him, to walk in the newness of life. Praise God. Friend of mine, this is exclusively the work of the Holy Spirit. Someone has went on to say concerning this, the Bible conceives salvation as the redemptive renewal of man on the basis of a restored relationship with God in Christ, and presents it as involving a radical and complete transformation wrought in the soul by God in and through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I'm going to make this statement today. To claim to be saved without this vital work of God through the Holy Spirit is to be spiritually deceived. And I might add, it is a very deadly deception. There's going to be many, Jesus said, that will say to me in that day when He comes not as Savior to save and not as Savior to take His people home, but when He comes to judge the wicked. And believe me, He is coming for His church and His bride to secure them. But He is also coming to judge the wicked. And He said, Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, we've done mighty works in Your name. They're making all of these excuses. We know You, we know You, we've served You, we've served You. And He will say unto them, depart from me, you that work iniquity. People that live in consistent, unconfessed sin. Even though we're convicted by the Holy Spirit, even though that we have the right religion, we've chosen the Christian faith because they're calling Jesus Lord. They're not talking to Allah. They're not talking to Buddha. They're talking to Jesus Christ. And He said, I will say unto them, depart from me, you that work iniquity. 1 John puts it this way. It says, he that committeth, that means to live habitually in sin. This is not sinless perfection to earn salvation. But this means that a person is not born again, and this crucial work of the Spirit in their heart and in their life has not occurred, because they can live in consistent, unconfessed, unconcerned about sin. And there's a doctrine that allows for that and calls that person saved. And it is a deadly deception. Because when Jesus says, depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. Listen, it is so important to get this right this is more important than when the rapture is going to occur, or if there's going to be a rapture, the millennial reign of Jesus, and how this and how that. These are tangents, but the crucial issue is, are we saved? Are we sealed by the Holy Spirit? And are we safe from the wrath to come? I like what Joseph Aline said. He said, conversion is no repairing of the old building, but it takes down the old and erects a new structure. From the foundation to the top stone, all is new. This is the operation of God by the Holy Spirit, not the operation of a religious system, but the operation of the Spirit of God today. Dear friend of mine, if you're a Christian today, we are arguing against powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And we need weapons that are not carnal, but weapons that are mighty through God because of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That we might see these mighty forces that are arrayed against us have to fall back while we plunder hell and populate heaven with souls for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Listen, friend, today we need like never before the exclusive, mighty, wonderful, powerful work of the Holy Ghost. And when it occurs in someone's life, they are made new. Old things pass away and all things become new, because a supernatural work of God occurs when they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Today, if you don't know Jesus, I pray that you will come to Him, that you will run to Him. If the Holy Spirit is drawing you, letting you know that you are lost without Him, you are not ready in any sense of the word to answer to a holy God for the sins that we have committed against Him. Dear friend of mine, don't run from Him. Run to Him today. Run to Jesus today. Repent of your sin. Answer His call to salvation. And receive pardon, forgiveness. Be saved, be sealed by the Holy Spirit, and be safe from the wrath to come. In Jesus' name.